That's what you have to remember. And that's what you have to come to believe, that you are one with the universe. Or you're one with this thing that we call God. The creation and the creator are one in the same. There's nothing outside of that. We're going to get into that even further tonight, okay? So, with that said, I will do a spiritual mind treatment.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
There is only one power in the universe, and that power is a power for good. And I know that I am part of that power. I know that I am not only part of that power, I am that power itself. And I can use that power for good to bring good into my life. I can use it to bring prosperity, abundance, and money into my life. And I do that right here and right now. And I let that be so, and so it is. So you can be fast, you can be elegant, you can do anything with it. I used to write treatments for Creative Thought magazine. One time I wrote a treatment, because you always had to put it in the present also, and I wrote one, I am not my past, you see. They finally accepted it, because it was the only way you could do that one, you see. I am not my past. That I went through. I'll find that someplace in the magazine for you. Okay, now, what am I going to do? Oh, is everyone doing their affirmations? And they all have affirmations, and you're doing, are you doing affirmations, Tommy?
Can you believe it? I did.
Look at the smile on his face. Do you remember two times before?
Yeah.
Gloomy Gus. But now look at him. Look at him, and he's smiling, having fun. That's wonderful. That's
joy.
No, that's joy coming up in you. And joy and happiness happen to be your natural states of being, people. To be anything else but joyful is not natural to you. That's why people get gloomy. That's why people get depressed and so forth. Because it's not a natural way of being. So think of that and keep joy going on. We're going to do next week something about joy. An exercise so that you know how to do that. How many times have I told you about things that your parents said or things that you heard from other people that now stick with you and all? I may have mentioned this. Fran and I stopped smoking together about 30 some years ago through the Atlanta Lung Association, and I still stay in contact with Fran. Fran worked for Emory University in the medical department. She was the one who, in the administrative part. And Fran was a very, very intelligent person. In fact, I would consider Fran an intellectual. She read, she did everything. I mean, I loved talking with the woman. She was very knowledgeable. But Fran had a little thing that her father once said to her, Fran, the trouble with you is you do not think. She remembered that, and that caused her whole life to be different. She happened to be married to the vice president of Vassar University, but she never felt she was smart because her father said, Fran, you do not think. So anyway, she's retired from that. Oh, here was the point of that. So that's the main person at the, whatever that was she worked for, was leaving. And they picked somebody else. And the lady who was leaving came up to Fran and said, why did you not apply for that job? You had more qualifications. And you would have gotten the job if you would have submitted an application. Why didn't she submit the application? Trouble with you, Fran, is you don't think. The trouble with you, Fran, is you don't think. Her parents, her father, put that in her mind many years ago, and she never left that go. We have to learn to let these things go. They're, come in. They're not true. Oh, hi. How are you? Thank you. So you have to let that type of thing go. So anyway, Fran and I have kept in contact over the years. Fran always sends me a birthday gift. And this year, she had the flu. So it didn't come on time. And I talked to her on the phone, and I said to her, well, I know how upset you are that the gift didn't come on time, because your mother once, she was late getting her mother a birthday gift, and her mother said, well, it doesn't count now.
Oh, God.
She still remembers that. She was so upset that she had the flu and couldn't get out to get my birthday gift. But that was because of her mother, you know. So she gets upset about that thing. Now her mother's dead. And Fran's 70-something.
Oh, God. Still there.
And it's still there.
Oh, God.
So you see what I'm saying is, look at that stuff. Give that stuff up. The mother was an idiot. The father was even worse. Don't do that to yourselves and carry that type of thing. You know, she left her life become very small because of those two things, at least because of the one. Trouble with you, Fran, is you don't think. People say things like that, and she was probably a child when that happened, and she believed this big man. Don't believe that stuff. Start to think for yourself. Start to see those things for yourself. Okay? I'm going to talk a minute about prosperity. The other day, a week or so ago, I went to the dumpster. And in the dumpster was a rug. And it's about a 3.5 by 6 rug that I looked at, and it was rolled. But I said to myself, that looks like a nice rug. I think I'll get that out. So I got it out. And it had mildew up around the corner and so forth. So finally, I just set it by in my thing. So the man who threw it out, Carrie, says, oh, you're the one who got the rug. And I said, yes. He said, well, you know, it's mildew, and I can't breathe mildew and all. I said, don't worry about it. Well, I was going to clean it up myself, and I thought, oh, I'm too lazy to do that. I'm going to take it to Thomas Rug Company, which I used to take rugs to. So I went to Thomas, laid that out, and the young man kept going like this to him, oh, this could be broken. I said, well, yes, it could be broken, you know, the strings, if you keep doing that to me. So he called his father over, and his father said, oh, that's a Persian rug. He said, you know, that's worth about $2,500.
Oh, my God.
Now, so, this beautiful rug, I hadn't even unrolled it. It was rolled, you know, and tied. They unrolled it for me. It was a pretty rug. So, the man said to me, it would be $45 to have it cleaned. And I thought he said 20 to fix the corner. He said, and 200 to fix it. That's $245. Now, did I panic? What do you think I did right away?
Found a buyer.
Yeah.
Found a buyer.
I said to myself, isn't that wonderful? I'm going to spend $245, but I'm getting back tenfold.
That's right. That's
immediately, right. Instantly.
You're getting back $2,500.
Yes.
That's right.
You know, when I go to pick it up, I'll ask them if they want to take it for $1,000. But you see, that's the old, remember the old saying, one man's trash is another man's treasure. And you never know where abundance and prosperity is coming from. Right. Now, that may not have been actual money, but it was money, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
And it's just, it's going to be a beautiful rug. So, you have to look around and you have to affirm that this is a wonderful thing, you see, that the universe is giving me something, even if I have to pick it out of a dumpster. You know, God doesn't know a dumpster. The universe doesn't know a dumpster. But it does know. And the other reason why, when I looked in there, I don't need a rug, by the way. My house has more rugs than we need. Somebody said, well, you can always put it on top of another one. But the other reason was I looked at that and I thought, well, that's a good rug and there's quality there and so forth. I cannot allow that to go to the trash. I cannot allow that to just be thrown out and dismissed that way. You see. But I affirmed all of that. Now my friend John came to visit me the other night, and he was going on about the woes in his life. And one of them was he had sent in $150 to a weightlifting company or something on a something about, or club, a weightlifting club. And he said, "But I, Dallas, I decided I didn't want to be in that club anymore." And he said, "I didn't know how to call him." And he said, "The money was unrefundable." He got home and the check was in the mail. It had come back to him. He had the wrong address on it.
Oh, wow.
You see? Now, he didn't look at it. And I said, "But you have to say right away, thank you. And look at the universe. It knew you didn't want to do that." This thing, last week I talked about behind the scenes and so forth. We have to know that something's going on, that we are being taken care of. Okay? Does anyone remember me talking about a movie that Anthony Hopkins? Yeah. Anthony Hopkins was in, and it had to do, I think he was a zoologist, and he was out in the jungle with the gorillas. Does anyone remember that movie?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know the name of it? Well, doesn't matter what the name of it is. It's the essence of this. So he went into the jungle to study the gorillas. And he became so attached to them and so forth. Finally, he took off his clothes and he was sitting with the gorillas. And everyone thought he was crazy and so forth. And he just was having a grand time for himself. Well, then the poachers came and killed the gorillas and hauled him off for some reason. And when he got back to civilization, they said to him, "Why did you do such a thing?" And he said, "You will never know the wonderful freeing experience it was to know when I sat in that group of gorillas that the alpha gorilla took care of all of us, watched out after all. And all my worries were gone." He said, "I was completely taken care of." Now, why am I telling you that? You must look at that as the universe or as God. That's what you must feel. How wonderful it is to be taken care of. And you have to do that for yourselves. You have to build that faith. Now, building faith, I'm going to give you something else. This came to me from a friend, and it's the 91st Psalm, a reflection on the 91st Psalm. And it's an article in National Geographic several years ago provided an interesting picture of God's wings. After a forest fire in Yellowstone National Park, forest rangers began their trek up a mountain to assess the inferno's damage. One ranger found a bird literally petrified in ashes, perched statuesquely on the ground at the base of a tree. Somewhat sickened by the eerie sight, he knocked over the bird with a stick. When he gently struck it, three little chicks scurried from under their dead mother's wings. The loving mother, keenly aware of impending disaster, had carried her offspring to the base of the tree and had gathered them under her wings, instinctively knowing that the toxic smoke would rise. She would have flown to safety, but had refused to abandon her babies. When the blaze had arrived and the heat had scorched her small body, the mother had remained steadfast. Because she had been willing to die, those under the cover of her wings would live. From the Bible. He will cover you with feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. Psalms 91:4. Being loved this much, how many times have I told you that you're loved so much that you can't believe it? Being loved this much should make a difference in your life. Being loved this much should make a difference in your life. Remember, the one who loves you, and then be different because of it. Be different because of it. Learn to get in touch with this power, this thing that we call the universe or we call God, this vibration, this energy. Get intimate with it. Make it your friend. And then be different because of it. You see, if you truly believe that you were loved all the time, that you were supported all the time, wouldn't you be different? Wouldn't your fears and worries and all that just vanish? They would just vanish. And that's what the universe does. That's what this thing we call God does. By the way, when I use the word universe and God, they're synonymous. They're one and the same. You can't have God in the universe. You can have God as the universe. You see, there is nothing but God. That is what I'm trying to teach. So that you see God everywhere. So that you realize that this whole thing is unity. That there is no separation whatsoever. But I put these things in front of you for your own mind to do something with them. So that, would you pass this, please? So that you can build your faith. So that you can build your belief. Now, we all know perfectly well that God does not have wings. But if we have to say, I'm held in the hands of God, God's wings, or whatever works for you, make it work for you. So that you're building your belief system. The only way is to build your own belief system and start to believe this stuff. And don't say, oh, this is just, isn't this nice to read? Isn't this, it makes me feel fuzzy. It must make you feel fuzzy all the time. You must get that down to your core, that you're totally, absolutely loved by this universe. And when you do, all these wonderful things happen to you. You find drugs. You find money. Prosperity and abundance comes to you. But we have to do something about it, you know? Tonight's thing is no action, no creation. Which means it's, and I think it was you, Casey, who said when I phoned this into you about you have a friend who had, tell them the story about your friend with all these affirmations all over her house.
I was reading a book called Power of Healing by Dr. Shaw. And he was giving an example of this woman who was on the top of her game and in the music, or in the movie industry, and things weren't coming to her, and things weren't really, she was having a very slow period. She was putting all these affirmations around her everywhere, but she didn't put them in action or didn't.
But didn't you say she
just
never
kept looking at them?
She never left the house, I thought you said.
She never left the house. So she never did anything to put it in motion. She never planted her seeds. She never.
We have an expression in religious science which says treat, do the treatment work, and then move your feet. You have to do something. Now, people will say to me, oh, well, Dallas, the God takes care. Look, he feeds the birds. But this is absolutely true that God feeds the birds, but he does not drop the worm in their mouth. They must go look for the worm. The abundance is there. The prosperity is there. The money is there. But you've got to get up off your rear end and look for it. Do something for it. Why you're affirming that this is so. You're saying? So you have to do your part in the whole thing. The universe also has a law which says nothing for nothing. If you put nothing out there, you'll get nothing back. It's nothing for nothing. This whole universe works mathematically. It's an equation. Remember, the same thought will always produce the same result. How many times do people think, oh, I'll rethink this and something else will happen? It won't. The same thought will always produce the same result. So change your thinking, change your mind, and things will come into your life. If you're sitting thinking that you have low self-esteem, that no one wants you, that blah, 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 whatever your mind wants to tell you, how do you expect anything good to come into your life? You see? And I know we all like a compliment, and we should all be complimenting each other all the time. But if you can't find somebody to compliment you, compliment yourself. Don't be sitting around waiting for somebody to say something nice to you. Say it to yourself. Do that wonderful, wonderful, wonderful me every day. Okay? So here again, we'll go back through the thing. What I am teaching is the idea that you people, and myself included, are completely lovable. That we do deserve, and that we are worthy. And it can be no other way. If you say to yourself, all that I am is God, but I am not all that God is. You see? It has to be true for you. So in religious science, we teach people how to think, not what to think. I want you to learn to think something good about yourselves. I want you also to learn to think beyond the world and beyond what's going on out. And we talk about this many times. I don't know when you, the people that were here, remember my comments on genes. You mean, not blue genes, but genes inside of you. And that they absolutely think that that determines everything. That your genes will give you the cancer. It will give you this. It will give you that. This, that, and the other thing. Well, you know, that's all hogwash. That's just a theory. There's no basis for that whatsoever, except it's been flaunted so many times in the medical community that people have started to believe that. I have some things here I want to do. This is from the new book, Biology of Belief. Where this came from, I have no... Well, it says from Candace Hendrick, but I don't know who Candace Hendrick is. I sat down the other day at my little thing that I read by, and this was on there. I know when Elizabeth Mir comes in, so I don't know where I got it, but the main thing is, here it says, information have revealed that genes do not, in fact, control our behavior. Instead, genes are turned on and off by influences outside the cell. What does that mean, people? Well, see, now, well, that turns me on. Don't you know what that means? That's your attitude, your beliefs, your viewpoints. That's what's causing your genes and cells to behave the way they do. But most people just take it for, oh, well, you know, my father died at 50, I'll die at 50. You don't do that to yourself. Learn to see these things and think. All this information that we have out there, we say, oh, well, they're scientists and blah, blah, blah. They must know what they're talking about. Well, give that idea up. These influences influences include our perceptions and beliefs. He shows that our beliefs, true or false, positive or negative, affect genetic activity and actually alter our genetic code. Isn't that wonderful to know? That you can change those things. This is the power that you have. Why is this the power that you have? Because of your consciousness. Because of this thing inside of our head, which is very powerful. If we learn how to use it correctly, we can change what we want to change about ourselves. But no one's doing it, or very few people are doing it, and the world is telling you it can't be done. I'm sorry, you're going to get diabetes. It's in your genes. Well, I tell them, no, thank you, I don't want it. Now let's see. Though a human is comprised, oh, listen to this one. Though a human is comprised of over 50 trillion cells, there are no physiological functions in our bodies that are not already pre-existing in the biology of the single cell. Meaning the little amoeba and so forth, it does all the same things that we do. It has a digestive system, a respiration system, elimination. It has all the same things on a different scale, but it all works the same. It all works the same. Okay. Genetic determination infers that the expression and fate of an organism is primarily predetermined. And it's not predetermined. But we have, how many people in school, college, high school, and all, have always heard that and take that as a fact for themselves? It's just a mere fact. Don't listen to that stuff. The notion that the nucleus and its genes are the brain of the cell is an untenable and illogical hypothesis. And how many people here think that the nucleus is the brain of the cell? That it's the most important. Well, they know that's not true, by the way, because they can take the nucleus out and the cell keeps on living. What they have discovered is it's the membrane. It's the membrane around the cell that's doing the work. It's the membrane. Do you remember when we say all things seen come from things that are not seen? Do you know that we're more interested now in the vacant space between things than the things themselves, the atom? We used to think, oh, we have to look at the atom and so forth. But where does the atom come from? It comes from the space around that. That's a medium. Like here, all this stuff you can't see is a medium for us to grow in, for us to do something with, for us to communicate with and respond to and so forth. You're saying, does this help anybody? Okay. Study on cloned human cells led me to the awareness that the cells cytoplasm, commonly referred to as the cell's membrane, represents the cell's brain. There's where the cell's brain is. So you see, what I like to do is see all these different things said differently so that you can prove. You can prove all this, and you can prove God. You do not have to sit there and let the world tell you what's going on, or let a doctor tell you what's going on. We're learning something new all the time, and we have to keep up with that. And when we learn something new, when I read something like this, it just affirms or reaffirms what I already believe, what I have known and can't get some people, you know, they will not go past square one because science says this, that, and the other thing. But science is constantly changing. And this whole article, you can read it if you wish, is the whole idea that they start all these theories and these hypotheses and so forth, then no one ever starts to think past that. Because, oh, well, that's been proven. Now we'll work with that as a model. Do you know everything, a medical model and this model and that model? You see, we have a medical model of cellular medicine here. The Western world is into cellular medicine. The Eastern world is not into cellular medicine, and it works just as well. Do you know that the Chinese knew about every part of the body and knew about all the organs and so far part of the body, but they never dissected a body to find that out because that's against their religion. They did it all without dissecting a body. I think that's wonderful.
But then how did they find out that they... I mean, this obviously this Western mind is coming.
That's the Western mind who has to have everything shown to it and all. They don't. You see, a Western mind has to have an answer. An Eastern mind can sit in the question. We can't sit in a question. If I give you a question, you have to think you have to answer it. They don't think they have to answer the question. They just live in the question. And how did they do that? Lord, if I know, but they didn't. I know that, did you know, did you ever go to a little Chinese place and have the little medicine dolls? Because they never touched anyone either. They had a doll, especially for women. And the woman would point on the doll where she was hurting or what was going on. You know, and they were made out of ivory. They're wonderful, beautiful things. They were medicine dolls for the you know, what they call the doctor. And he used that. I mean, they figured out all the meridians in the body, all the chakras in the body. They figured all that out without slicing somebody up. So. Now, how many people remember me talking about heart math? No.
Heart math.
Yes. But recently, right? Heart math is an organization here in California. It's at least 15, if not 20 years old by now. And it deals with the idea that there's the small brain in the heart. And that we're trying to think from the small brain instead of the big brain, because the heart never lies to you. It always tells you the truth, where the ego mind or your mind talks you out of most things that you want to do. It comes up with some, what you think, well, that's logical. I don't have the money, so therefore I won't do this. You see. So anyway, you have to come from the heart. So now listen, is anyone familiar with this magazine, Shift? Well, it's from Nuetic Sciences, which is another organization that's been here for years, up the coast. It used to be called Nuetic Science, and this book used to be called Nuetic Science. They changed it to Shift. It's at the frontier of consciousness, and that's all they deal with, these people, is shifting consciousness, individual and world consciousness. Now, here is a thing called Viewpoints, and this is where they had an article, and then somebody wrote back about something, and here's what it says. I have long been interested in research regarding how the heart communicates with every cell in the body. As a general internist engaged in private practice, I have also noticed that patients who have undergone cardio bypass surgery and have been placed on a heart-lung bypass machine while their heart is stopped are never quite the same. I wonder what Bill Clinton's going to do. It occurred to me that while the brain is focused and still alive, the communication between the heart and the remainder of the body is placed in suspended animation. One can then theorize that the body at this point is only receiving half the information it should. It is still receiving neural impulses from the brain. However, it is not receiving electrical impulses from the heart. Electrical impulses from the heart. Heart math has discovered that some people, the energy from their heart extends out 8 feet. And they can measure this with their machinery and so forth. Could the cells that make up our body then believe that they are dead because they're not hooked up to the heart? Could this be responsible for some of the changes that one sees post-bypass surgery? Some type of body memory. Do you know about the body memory? You know when they put on, if you think that you don't have a brain in your heart, people who have received another person's heart say they never drank beer or hot stuff. They start drinking beer and hot stuff. They start doing things because the memory in the heart, in the small brain, is still functioning. It would be interesting to see what would happen if prior to surgery, one recorded the heartbeat's electrical impulses. If one played that recording back while the heart was stopped and the patient was on the bypass machine, the body would continually be bathed in the same electrical impulses that would be expected from a beating heart. Is anyone exploring this type of research? Well, I don't expect anything ever to happen to my heart. But in the case it does, I'm going to ask them to record my electrical impulses and then do something. How many people know about the idea of when they are operating on people to have headphones on, saying affirmations and good things? Well, you can just put on the headphones that say, I'm going to be healthy, happy, my body's accepting this, whatever.
Yeah.
So that you recover much faster from it because your brain is listening to that. You know what they, you know, if you don't, you hear the chatter in the operating room,
right,
which was say, oh, I think they're slipping. Oh, I think their heart is going to stop. I think this is going to happen. That's going to happen. You hear that. And you start to do those things.
That's why they had them stop talking and playing the music, because they found that the patients were hearing what they were saying, like, oh my God, this slipped, and oh my God, this looks terrible, and that looks terrible. And patients were hearing this, and they weren't recovering well because they were listening to this even while they were under.
Right.
They had discovered this. And that's why my recovery, because I was doing hypnosis with you prior to my surgery. And that's why my recovery was so phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Even the doctors were so shocked that it was so quick and so well.
Yes.
And it was because of my hypnosis sessions with you that we had done, that I didn't hear anything that went on during my surgery. All I knew was what we had done with the hypnosis. And they were ready to put me in the Guinness Book of Records.
There's a doctor in Spain, a Spanish doctor in Spain, who operates all the time using nothing but hypnosis. And he can reset legs or, you know, whatever they do, straighten them by sawing and all. But the patient does not see that, but a person is there talking to the patient the whole time, and the patient says, no, I don't feel a thing. Now, the next thing that happens is they don't bleed as much.
Mm-hmm.
And in all the operations that he's done, he's never had an infection occur. So these things are out there all the time for our use, but we don't use the different things. We don't use this power that we call God to do something for us. How many people here still think that there's you and that there's God? You do? Well, you see, that's the problem, because then you think that there's that you're into separation, you see. But if you know that there's no such thing as separation, that all you are is God, but you are not all that God is, then you have the power within you. You have the power within you to do that. And that's all through the Bible. You know, that the power is within. But people somehow got this idea that, you know, there's Mary and Jesus and God up in heaven doing something, whatever they do up there, I don't know. We have to know that we are not separated from this power. You have to know that. Because that makes you feel powerful. So you're no longer this scum of the earth. You're no longer here for stress, struggle, strain, and sacrifice. You're here to enjoy. You're here to manifest God on this plane of action, to prove that God really does exist. But we get caught up in the world, and we think these things are true, which the world tells us, and they're not true at all. So that's what we're trying to teach here, that there's no separation, that you're one with this power, and that you can use this power. And don't let yourself be influenced by the world. The master teacher, one of them, Jesus said, "I have overcome the world." Meaning he overcame the mass consciousness, or the race consciousness, or the collective consciousness. So what we're trying to do here is learn to think for ourselves. And who cares if anyone else thinks it or not? It doesn't make a bit of difference. We were back to doing the treatment work and all. You don't have to do those steps exactly. You don't have to do anything exactly. What is the main thing to remember? The main thing is to remember is it's always done unto you as you believe. Not as I believe, but as you believe. Not as the church believes, but as you believe. And that's what you're doing, is building your belief system. When I talked about John earlier, getting back the $150, I had to point out to him what a blessing that was and how that worked and so forth. Because things happen to us and we just think, oh, well, you know, it's serendipitous, or it's this, that, the other thing. There's no such thing as chance or accident. You are being listened to, and you are being loved and heard all the time. Now, isn't that something?
So if something goes wrong, does that mean that was not for you and that something better would be coming?
It always means that something's better coming. What you're doing, and we try not to think of it as wrong, because it didn't happen the way you wanted it to. But you look at it and you say, what lesson did I learn from this? You see, did it accomplish the feeling that I was looking for anyway, if it would have come, you see? Then you see what that's doing. And when you don't get something right away that you don't want, it's because you're not ready for it. You're not ready for it. But the universe will not hold it back from you. It'll keep doing it. It will make you ready for it. Does that make sense to you? It will make you ready for it.
I'm on some workers' comp because of my accident. And the doctor had written a note, or the nurse had written a note, that I was supposed to go back with restrictions. And she was supposed to write minimal kneeling, and she wrote no bending. And they called me. I was supposed to go back January 25th, and she called me the Friday before, and she said, you cannot come back to work because of your restrictions. We don't have a position available for you. And I thought, well, that sucked. I was ready to go back to work. Well, as it turned out, I ended up with bronchitis and the flu. And then when I got better, my daughter ended up being pregnant. But then she was bleeding, and we thought she was going to lose the baby, and she had to stay home. And so I was able to take care of her. So it all worked out in the long run for the better. And then now I'm going to have another knee replacement. So everything worked out for the best. So.
And you also got paid during this whole time.
And I'm still getting paid by workers' comp. So it was meant to be.
Yeah.
It was meant to be. I wasn't ready, and it was meant to be that now I could take care of my daughter because she's been taking care of me.
Right. And this is the way you want to look at your life. Instead of thinking it a tragedy just happened, or this happened, or, oh, doesn't God hate me because now look what it did to me. It's impossible for God to hate you. Absolutely impossible. If anyone thinks that God doesn't like you or hates you or anything, get that out of your consciousness. The only thing that God does is what? Well, he does two things. God loves you, and God makes all things new. God makes all things new. God is not in the repair business. The world is in the repair business. It will say, oh, we'll do this, and we'll say this, we'll do that. God says, oh, get rid of all that stuff, and I'll make everything new for you. I'll just make it new. And that's what God does, makes all things new. And that's what God will do for each and every one of us. If you're having trouble with anything, especially with your mind, and I know that this mind is a little devil sometimes, just affirm to yourself, a right spirit is reborn in me. A right spirit is reborn in me. And this has happened to most of you in this room. Something happened to you. Something finally opened your heart a little bit. You made a little shift. Everyone thinks that a shift has to be from that side of the room to this side of the room. A shift only means a small crack that something new can get in, some new idea can get in. That's all a shift means. And as soon as you get that little thing, the light pours in. When I say the light, that's the light of the universe. That's the wisdom of the universe. That's the healing of the universe. And I have this... Oh, there she is. I didn't want to ask him if you got a divorce. We hadn't seen you for so long. I was just, staying
he's
mum.
He's going to be locked in the closet.
I was staying mum on that subject. Where was I? Does anyone remember?
Hey,
right.
The
light comes in. And what I saw here earlier was you had a shift, Tom, and a little crack opened up. And you smiled and you did all kinds of things and you look better and you're sitting up. You know, your whole demeanor is better. You see, consciousness always shows. You can't hide your consciousness. You know? It's like a slip. If it's showing, it's showing. And I think that's wonderful. You know, that delights me. To no end to see something like that with you.
Yeah, I think it's wonderful.
Yes. Well, see, that's what happens with people. What they're doing is not working. But they keep trying it, the same thing over and over. You have to try something new and some new thinking. And this may sound radical to people. It's not radical. And it may sound religious. It's not religious. Please give me a break. It's not religious. Not that I have anything against religions, and if you want to go do all that, whatever that stuff is they do, that's all well and good. But if anything that you're going to does not bring you to your full potential, and when I say your full potential, that means that you believe in yourself, that you start to love yourself, that you're filled with joy and happiness most of the time. You see, that's what this teaching is about. And it will happen to each and every one of you. And if it hasn't happened to anyone, I'm sure it's happened little by little to everyone. You're just new, right? But it's going to happen to you. It'll happen. And that's all that it takes. All that it takes. Are there any questions? Have I been clear tonight? I know I went on many, many subjects.
Opportunity
is knocking.
Are we closing with a song?
We'll close it up. I went here, there, and everywhere tonight, but I brought things in to show you that what we're talking about does exist out there, and maybe you have to look for it because it's certainly not mainstream, you know. It's not going to be, we have to love her. It's a test. But look around and see, if once you do, these things just keep popping up and appearing like that. I have no idea where this paper came from. I don't know this lady. I have no idea who she is.
But
oh, you do?
She's somebody wonderful.
Well, yes, yeah. But I don't know her personally, and I don't know how
you
I got.
Do.
Oh, well.
Me.
Oh, you gave me this way back when. Yeah. Oh, I wondered. See, it was on my thing. I must have put it someplace, and then I got it out. Oh, well, then you. Wasn't it a wonderful article? I thought so. But you have to look at all that stuff, and you have to look at, to prove this to yourself each time, so that you don't think, oh, well, that was a good book, but. Or that was good, but yeah. This stuff absolutely works. And you can prove it to yourself constantly. And you can be amazed constantly. And that's what makes life wonderful. And I think you people are wonderful. And I know that I'm wonderful. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.